Welcome to a Listen to Older Voices Golden Moments program. I'm brought to you through the Toorak Times. This is a repeat program from our archives that we believe has merit enough to rebroadcast so that the story and the person's life can be shared with those who may have missed it the first time. Hello and welcome to Listen to Older Voices. I'm Rob Greaves and this is part one of a three-part program featuring the life and times of Col Millington. Now this program is part of our Baby Boomers stories. Many boomers are well into their 60s and some have even reached the age of 70. Generally, one thing they have in common is they're still very active and the greater majority are still working today. Col is a 66-year-old baby boomer and started work at 15 and indeed is still working today. Like many young people, he became interested in music and being in a band. During the 60s, Col enjoyed life and the freedoms of that period. His number didn't come up in the National Service conscription ballot, and whilst he was pleased about this, nonetheless, he has some interesting ideas that he shares with us. From his earliest memories through to the mid to late 60s, Col takes us on a journey of the early part of his life. Without much more ado, here I am talking with Col Millington. Col, I'd like to thank you very much for being on the program. Could I start by asking you, when were you born and where were you born?
I was born in Melbourne, Rob, and that was January of 1949.
So you're a genuine baby boomer.
Yes, and I'm a Capricorn.
Capricorn baby boomer. Well, as the interview goes on, we might discover exactly what that means. Col, what might be your earliest memories?
Gee, that's a hard one. I don't know. I do have memories of sort of when we used to go to the out with the parents, and I was only a little toddler, and I was a bit of a wanderer, so Dad used to take a small rope with him and tie a rope around my stomach, waist, and hang onto the rope so I wouldn't run off. That's one of my early memories.
You mentioned your dad. What sort of man was he?
He was a good man. He was a simple sort of fellow. He was in World War II in the Air Force, and he was a staff sergeant. He came back from that and got a job at Kodak, and he worked in Kodak until he retired.
Okay, that's Dad. What about Mum? What sort of woman was your mother?
Mum was born, I think, in Richmond. Dad was born in Hamilton in Western District. Richmond, Victoria. She was a fine lady, a very fine lady. She came. She had a sister and a brother, and their parents really struggled to survive. And the kids knew all that, and the kids had a difficult life, not having everything they wanted. Obviously, very little they wanted.
Because they would have been brought up during the Great Depression.
Exactly.
Yes.
And times were really bad.
Yes.
But Mum met Dad before the war. He went to war, and when he came back home from the war, they were determined that they'd have a better life for themselves and for their children. And they actually purchased the house that my grandparents were living in. At the time, there was about eight of us living in a three-bedroom house in Richmond. They actually purchased that so that grandparents didn't have to pay rent anymore. And then they put down a deposit on a house in Northcote.
Mm-hmm.
And that was about 1953, 52, and moved out there so that we had a fair chance, the six of us, because there was four kids and Mum and Dad.
So you had brothers and sisters?
Yeah, two brothers and a sister, and We were brought up in Northcote, although we came from Richmond. We were brought up in Northcote.
What are your memories of Northcote as a young boy?
Oh, I got that many, Robbie. You got all day.
Yes.
What are the ones
that you remember fondly?
The fondest memories are silly things like going back to before television, and when we were only little kids, every Saturday afternoon we'd go to the matinee at the West Garth Picture Theatre.
That was big for us kids in those days, wasn't it?
It was great. And, you know, they always showed sort of the corny cowboy movies, the serials, yes, that you came back to see that you watched the previous week. And the Cowboys, I think that's where I probably got into country music in the first place, because I do a lot of country songs and I just love those old cowboy songs.
Mm. School, like all kids, you would have gone to school. What was your primary school experience like?
West Scar Central I went to, and there was a lot of other stars in the area. Doug Trevor actually was from West Garth, and Normie Rowe was from Northcote. Well, West Garth's a part of Northcote. Mm. There's a lot of us come from that area. But my early school days, I do remember always being put outside the door for misbehaving.
A bit of a lad, were you?
And when I got a little bit older at school, there was usually a bit of a fight between me and the teacher to get me outside the door. So West Coast Central School were glad to get rid of me.
Okay then. As a young boy, what were the sort of things you used to do for entertainment? Because you didn't have computers and all the gadgets of today's kids.
No, well, that's like memories you asked me about my growing up. I was two blocks away from Yarra Bend National Park and the Yarra River. Mm-hmm. So that was our stomping ground. Even as little kids, we'd get on our bikes and ride down there. And the only problem was we had to cross Heidelberg Road, which is a very busy road. But there was a pedestrian crossing there, and we crossed that. But in the meantime, we'd ride our bikes, get down to the Yarra Bend, and in the summertime, we'd just swim all day in the river. And in the wintertime, we'd just ride our bikes all around National Bend, and it's miles and miles and miles of track.
Yeah. Very healthy lifestyle, wasn't it?
Yes. Oh, yeah, never stuck inside. We're always outside.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's something today kids today can't do, because everything's changed. It's not safe anymore, but we never worried about safety in those days.
No, I mean, I remember Mum and Dad giving my sister, a chat about anybody approaching them, her, and asking them to get in the car or anything like that. We all got the same thing too, but more so my sister, because she was a girl.
Mm.
But, yeah, apart from that, no, it was just like... And everybody knew each other.
Yeah.
Like, even three streets away, we knew the Duns three streets away and the Kernigans and, all these people, the Smiths.
Yeah.
And these days you don't know your next-door neighbour, and I don't.
No. Okay, so you're growing up as a young boy. You obviously go from primary school to secondary school. What secondary school did you go to?
Well, we were in an area where we didn't get a choice. We were told where to go, and I was sort of in Northcote, but right on the border of Fairfield. So I was told I had to go to Heidelberg Tech. Normally, Northcote people went to Collingwood Tech, but we were sent to Heidelberg Tech because I was down in this corner of Northcote near Fairfield. So I spent my years at Heidelberg Tech, and that was a school too tough to die.
I was going to say it had a reputation even over on our side of the city.
But I learnt a lot about life.
And you survived it.
Yeah, I survived it, yeah.
What age did you leave school?
Just on 15, I think it was. I finished third form. They were glad to get rid of me too, Rob. And they said, look, we'll pass you for this year so you can get an apprenticeship if you leave. So... I left and they passed me so I could get an apprenticeship.
Did you get an apprenticeship?
I started as an apprentice engineer, and I did 12 months and gave it away, and I've basically never finished it.
Yeah, but you just discovered it wasn't for you.
It wasn't for me, and music, I was doing music. At that stage, I'd been playing guitar for quite a few years.
So when did you first pick up a guitar?
Well, my older brother Gary, he was 6 years older than me, is still, and he was in a group called the Saxons. But going back prior to that, for some reason he wanted to learn guitar, so he purchased a guitar and brought it home and played the guitar. And I said, "Oh, I don't mind this. This is all right." I said, "Show me a few chords." So he showed me, and one thing led to another, and there were Roger Panton lived around the corner. He was a drummer. He was learning drums. Gary was learning guitar. Graham Donovan lived one street away. He was playing guitar. So they got together and got a band going, but they didn't have a bass player. So my brother actually went on to bass. And that was a good thing, because he wasn't much on guitar, but he was all right on bass.
Right.
So with that, the Crickets were born. And that was Graham Donovan on lead guitar, Roger Panton on drums, my brother on bass, Gary Millington, and they had to get somebody else in, so they got a guy called Johnny Kest from Q, and they were very successful.
So you were sort of being a young teenager at this stage?
Yeah, at that stage when they had that going, I was about 12.
Not even a teenager,
maybe 11. So when Gary started playing bass and that, well, his guitar was sitting there doing nothing, so I just picked it up and I loved it. And I was better at it than my brother, so I started playing guitar.
Now, if we did skip ahead 6-8 years into the early 60s, of course, is when it's starting to happen for you. It also started happening for a lot of people because of that British music explosion that happened. Were you caught up in that, or had you already started to look at the countryside of music?
No, I was involved with that, but I was still a bit young. So I was 12. My brother was in, at that stage, had left the Crickets and joined the Saxons, who were at that time a big-time band. And that was the early 60s, and as I got older, I went to all my gigs, all my brother's gigs, and said, oh, I got to do that. And down the track, I got older and better at guitar, and I finished up in the 60s joining a band and had something going in the later 60s. But there's a lot going on in the 60s. Yeah, everybody was influenced by the Shadows for a start, you know, and then, of course, all the other bands that come out vocally.
And this is Listen to Older Voices, Ageless Stories on Ageless Radio.
I'm Rob Greaves, and I'm talking with Cole Millington about his life and times. Okay, obviously we need to talk a lot more about music because it's such an important part of your life, but could we just backtrack a moment back into the 50s, because a lot of things were happening in the 50s, including the introduction of television. Do you remember getting your first television?
Well, yes, my father refused to buy one, so we didn't get a television until 1962 or 63.
That was quite late.
That was late, yes. So where we had the opportunity, us kids would go to a friend's place and watch their television. But his point was that he didn't want us sitting around watching TV. He wanted us to finish school. So we all had to basically do our homework and have no distractions so we could pass and finish school.
Did that sit comfortably with you?
No.
I didn't think it did.
No.
Because you didn't have that great relationship with your school anyway, did you?
No.
No.
I was a bad child as far as school went. I just hated school.
Yes.
And if there was another way, I would have just taken off, but there wasn't.
Another big piece of technology in that period, of course, was radio. Radio was very big in the 50s and even into the 60s. Was it a big part of your life in the house?
Oh, yeah, like every morning, Mum would have, I don't know if it was 3KZ or one of those stations on, and we used to sit down while she was getting us, getting things ready for school, and we'd listen to of Uncle Norman and Murka Mouse and all this sort of these morning kids shows, which they don't have anymore. And that was a big part of our life, and we'd listen to the serials that were on radio in the evening as well. After tea, we'd sit down and listen to the radio, and then Dad bought a Astor record player and started buying records. And one of the records he bought was Slim Dusty's "The Pub with No Beer." I don't know why, because he doesn't like country music.
I think that was probably in most households.
Oh, it's a lonesome away from your kindred and all, by the campfire at night, where hear the wild dingoes call. But there's a nothing so lonesome, morbid or drear, than to stand in the bar of a pub with no beer. Now the publican's anxious for the quota to come, and there's a faraway look on the face of the bum. The mate's gone all cranky and the cook's acting queer. Oh, what a terrible place is a pub with no beer.
So did that open a new world for you, suddenly having records, or did you just take it as an everyday thing?
Oh, no, it was all a part of this, me playing guitar and the music influence with my brother in, older in a band, and having the records at home. His band had come home and rehearsed in the lounge room, as you did in those days. And all these different musos would come in from all over Melbourne and just jam with them in the lounge room. And it was, I just thought it was a wonderful world.
Of course.
Music.
Can you remember by any chance what was your first record that you ever bought?
Personally, I think it was the Beatles. I think I bought the Beatles album, the second one they put out, I purchased. Yeah,
right.
I'm pretty sure it was the Beatles album.
Yes.
I love the Beatles.
Close your eyes and I'll kiss you. Tomorrow I'll miss you. Pretend that I'm missing the lips I am missing, and hope that my dreams will come true. And then while I'm away, I'll write home every day, and I'll send all my loving to you. All my loving I will send to you.
Yes, hard not to.
And I didn't have the voice to sing their stuff. It was not suited for me, but I was in bands later that did Beatles stuff and I did harmonies, but I didn't really have a Beatles voice.
So, all right, you're 15 years, 16 years of age in the early 60s, moving on. You're not working professionally at that stage and you haven't got a trade. What are you doing for an income?
Well, I had all sorts of jobs. I even did washing cars for a while. I worked at Myers in the menswear department. You know, that's from one extreme to the other. Yeah, that's the sort of thing. I just did anything. But it was all about just... I wasn't really interested in working, but it was all about I had to have a job. I had to have the money to buy clothes to look flash.
Mm.
And I had mates that looked flash, and we all bought great clothes and hung out. So the music sort of was... doing a backseat ride at the time, and because I was more interested in going out and having fun.
Mm-hmm. And girls?
Yeah, girls, of course. Yeah, that was all involved.
Yes.
So for a couple of years, the guitar, I still played it. I took it to some of the parties, but I wasn't interested in the band thing anymore. It was more knocking around with the boys and picking up the girls.
Did you go to dances, though?
Oh, yes, yes. So we'd go where my brother was playing, the Saxons, and we'd go to... Preston Circle, Preston Town Hall, Canterbury Ballroom, all those great dances at the time. And we'd just have fun dancing and picking up girls or having girlfriends and enjoying the band, because I knew all the guys in the band. It was my brother's band and other bands at the time. Like I met all the all bands like the Cherokees before I got into a band because of my brother, because I'd go to the dances where they were playing. So I got to know everybody in the band.
Mm. So, okay, you're moving through the 60s, you're working in whatever jobs you can find. The rather disturbing issue of conscription came up in the 60s. Did you ever get conscripted, or did you miss the draft?
No, my number never came out of the barrel. Number 13 was my birth date, and 13 didn't come out, so I didn't have to go.
That was lucky for you.
Very lucky for me, because just going back a step, Rob, after doing the knocking around with the boys and going out with the girls and dancing, there was... you mentioned jobs. Well, my brother had M&R amplifiers, and he started up M&R amplifiers as a professional business, and they also started up a booking agency for bands. And he said, "Do you want a job? You can come and work with me." So I started running the agency. Now, I was only 18, but by doing that, that put me back into music, and I got back into bands, and I was in my first hot band doing really good when the conscription came up.
Listen to older voices. The magic of memories.
So I was really nervous. I didn't want to blow my chance in the music. So lucky me, my number never came up.
Yes. When you look back at those times, do you think that most of us as young people really were anti-conscription and anti-Vietnam War? You look back now after all those years, do you think we were on the right track, or do you think we had it wrong?
Well, I was never anti, really. I guess I came up old school from my father's thoughts. You know, the country needs to be defended, and there's certain policies and politics that go on in the world that we just have to be involved in. And maybe that's one we shouldn't have been involved in, but I remember him saying, like, you know, if we don't stop them from coming down, they'll all finish up in Australia.
Yet history showed we didn't stop them and they didn't end up in Australia.
No, they're coming in boats now.
One way or the other.
I feel he was right, and so I did believe in conscription, although it was probably not a fair thing. There was a lot of people didn't mind going, and there's other people like myself who was lucky didn't have to go, but I know mates of mine that had good jobs and didn't want to go and had to go.
Did, to your knowledge, did they come through that fine, or were they quite changed by that situation?
A couple of them I know well, Gary Scott and Paul Beraldo, they had problems, you know, after the returning from the war, Gary Scott in particular. Peter Jacobs, another one that came back. Pete was okay. I don't think he was affected that much. You know, some people got affected mentally, and others got affected with the health-wise.
Mm.
But there are a few that didn't come back that I know.
Mm.
So sad.
Say goodbye, and you
Join Col and I next week as we discover how his love for music leads to a career spanning 5 decades. He shares the joys and he shares the frustrations of being a singer-songwriter in Australia. That's next week, Col Millington on Listen to Older Voices. Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is brought to you through the Turak Times.